Jesus saw the crowds and had great compassion on them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So it's great we're all here on this hot summer day. St. Paul's and Cary, and the readings are just amazing that we just had. Like, I would love to preach about Abraham and how we boast of our sufferings and love has been poured into our hearts. It's all amazing. But I know the men's group of the parish are very antsy right now because the charcoal has been timed just right for the hamburgers to be ready after the service. So I'm just going to focus on the gospel today. And this gospel I find hilarious and amazing. And I want to unfold that with you. So Jesus is going about to the cities and villages, and his ministry is growing and growing, and the crowds are crowding to hear him, and the throngs are thronging to hear Jesus. And they're coming to him, and they're being healed, and the demons are being cast out, and he is saying the good news of the kingdom. He's teaching and proclaiming the good news, which is that God is here, and God is active in your lives right now. God is here. God is active in your lives right now. So here we are, right? And we've come to church this morning. And we're coming, we've maybe heard good things about the Christian faith, or we've been coming here since we were baptized, coming here forever, coming here for decades. We like church because it builds good fellowship. Maybe we're more curious about growing in faith. We're like, wow, a community of people that accepts the outcasts and makes them part of the community. That's amazing. This new humanity. Want to explore that? Or maybe we're here just because we always come. And Sunday would feel kind of like empty without it. Or maybe we're hoping, you know, here in our secrets of our hearts, we're hoping that something might be spoken. I might receive something today to help with what's going on in my life. Will something help me? You know, maybe we're just here because our parents make us come. Jesus looks out on us, and you're a very good crowd to look out on. You know, like 8 o'clock wasn't such a throng. but you all make a very nice throng, and Jesus looks out on us, and he has great compassion. His heart is rent with compassion for you, for us, because he sees that we are harassed and helpless. Harassed and helpless. Now, I think it's fair to say that most of us feel harassed and helpless at various points in our lives. And we might blame the way things are going in our marriage, or we might blame the illness that's come upon us. We might blame the way state of the economy. We might blame mental health problems. We might blame all kinds of stuff for why we feel harassed and helpless. Social ills, global ills. Why do we feel so harassed and helpless? And I find this really curious, because as Americans, we bow down and worship at the altar of the Greek god Techne. We think if we just have a little more power, we're going to make things okay. I think technology is great. I love it. It's done so much for like our well-being in this world. We're sitting in this air-conditioned church on a hot summer day. But, well, that's great. But 2,000 years after those people gathering on that plain in Palestine, thronging to see Jesus, we are still harassed and helpless just like they were. Spiritually, our state is the same. That's extraordinary. We're just like them. We're just like those medieval peasants running around Norwich, England, centuries ago, trying to find, like, food and stuff. We're just like them, harassed and helpless for different reasons, some of the same reasons. So what I find fascinating about this gospel is what Jesus does. And just bear with me if I say that Jesus is God. Yeah, I know, just bear with me. And he has the whole heart of all of divine compassion and all of divine power. He can do anything that he wants. He can do anything for us with all that God's compassion and power. But what does Jesus do? Uh-oh. All right? What does Jesus actually do with all that compassion for your well-being, for our well-being? What does he do? He does three things. First, he reframes the situation. He looks at us, harassed and helpless, and says, wow, they are ripe for harvesting. Like all that time when you got your new Porsche, I never had a new Porsche, but when you got your new Porsche and you were driving down whatever it is, say Harrison, and you felt like, I finally made it, God is with me. You weren't ripe for the kingdom. When things were going great and you were on top of the world, you weren't yet ripe. You might have thought you had reached the pinnacle of your life. You were, you know, you're with God. God has blessed you, but you were still like a really small, green, hard apple. And God would look at you and say, not ripe. Not ripe. But when we're harassed and helpless, God says, you're ripe. You're ready. You're ready. If you want to get ready for the kingdom, ripe, really quick, just have a kid. Or like have your grandkids come over for a weekend. But Jesus says, first of all, he declares us ripe for harvesting. In the upside down world of God, this is when we're ready to let go of how we've tried to live and maybe to begin to imagine a different way of life that is closer to the tenderness and the courage of Jesus. He does that. He says we're ripe, and then he commissions the apostles. In other words, he makes the church, or he gets it going, and gives them the authority to go out and proclaim the same message and do the same things he did. Jesus makes the church to continue his work through time, all places. Now, I know we all think we're the church, right? We're all here. We put on our best t-shirts this morning. I mean, we're all here. But no matter how long we've been here, no matter how long we've been coming to church, and I know this personally, try my whole adult life to be Christian, every time we wake up in the morning, we are starting over again at zero, and we need the church to come and bear the witness of the gospel to us, that God is present in love, in compassion, and God yearns to be active in your life. So Jesus sends the church to us, Thaddeus and Simon and Philip and all those, and Mary, a lot of women too. Jesus makes the church. And then what does Jesus have them say to us? What do they do when they come to us? Now we want them to say something like, you know, I found this new mutual fund, and it's ethically really good, and you put money in there, and you'll be like really set for retirement, or I have this new life hack for you, or there's this new nutritional supplement that you'll finally be able to lose weight and enjoy the parish picnic. We want power. We desperately want power to get good stuff for ourselves and to get rid of bad stuff for ourselves. So we want money, we want technique, we want all kinds of things. And we think that's going to make us unharassed, unhelpless. So this is hilarious, Because here we are in our need. We're harassed and helpless. And what Jesus says to us, this is hilarious. Sarah laughed. You can laugh. He says, the kingdom of God is near. That's all he says. The kingdom of God is present and active in your life situation as it is right now. That's spooky. God is here. Yes, you are harassed and helpless. God is here. Now, I know we need to move along. There's many ways that I could talk about this. What I want to do with you on this Sunday is describe, as best I can, what it's like to receive this good news. To receive the news that God is present right now in your life and active in it, even though you are harassed and helpless. For me, in my experience, this starts with a sense of acceptance or surrender, letting go. As the yoginis would say among us, we exhale, we let go. We let ourselves be carried by something bigger than we are. Most people, for their whole lives, live in a sustained amount of hostility to themselves and to their life situation, to the way things are, resentful, angry, hostile. What's happening here? The kingdom of God is here. Jesus has come here, and because he's fully accepted us and this situation, we are drawn to surrender and let go and to let this be. And for a moment, our hostility to ourselves and our life is let go, and we are at peace. In ourselves and with each other. And I don't mean to say that we stop condemning what is evil or stop fighting what is evil or get out of bad relationships or, oh, I'm not saying we just become doormats for the awfulness of the world. And it's awful. The world is also beautiful, I know. But you know what I'm saying? But what I am saying is that we surrender to the fact that sin and evil have impinged on all our lives and are impinging now, and they create it for us in our lives situations in which we feel harassed and helpless. And we accept that as real as Jesus did before us. So there's that acceptance and surrender, and then that sinks down to a place of stillness and peace, putting the car in neutral, and you're still humming there, but you're not really moving. I call that prayer. I don't call prayer like asking God for stuff for me. I call prayer letting God do stuff to me. Stillness, present to God. And because this presence of God is happening in my harassed and helpless state, what it does is it awakens in me a tenderness for the world, for everybody else. And out of that tenderness, it begins to invite me maybe to walk in a new way, to walk in tenderness. And to be an apostle myself. To bring the good news. In the Episcopal Church, we're really good at enacting the good news. We love that, right? Doing good stuff, justice, all that is so important. We're not so good, however, at saying, you know what? God is here. And the way of Jesus is to say, God is here. God is present here. And I will show that to you by how I am with you and how I work for justice and how I care and how I do direct service and how I repair porches in Appalachia. So, sisters and brothers, the kingdom of God is upon us. It's right here. And it's upon us in our helpless and harassed state. And we can let go to that and let ourselves be carried. And then when we're living from this place, just discover this new God-given tenderness for the world. So we can say to others, you know, God is with you too. God is with you. Amen.